It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check back in on a topic we explored this year, problems with Indigenous identity fraud and exposing people who make false claims of Native American heritage. Now we get up to speed on the progress of the WPR year-end member drive. I'm here with Courtney Everett. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning, Kate.
My colleague on the morning show is here. And as we say, this is our year-end member drive. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported, and you make WPR programs possible as we head into 2024 when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today, become a WPR sustainer, and your support will go twice as far. A generous group of donors will match the first year of new sustaining contributions up to $10,000.
Ooh, that's really cool. And it is their way of encouraging you to join them in sustaining the WPR programs that inform you and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Exactly. Your participation now is vital. Let's meet this match before the end of the day. Start your monthly donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, a large slice of funding for WPR, in fact, the biggest piece of it is the listener support chunk. And so while all of our funding sources, the state, federal government, businesses, they are important, of course, it is your contribution, though, that makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is, all thanks to you and your support. So keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Many listeners become donors out of a sense of shared commitment because you think of WPR as a resource that should be available to all. And because you yourself have been getting value out of it over the past year or two or maybe even more, but it is time to put something back in.
So make a donation for yourself and also for the greater community. And the amount is up to you. The important thing, though, is that you participate. So make your first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Silke Schmidt. I am originally from Germany, and we've lived in Madison since January 2012. For me, radio is really a way to get information. In general, I just really enjoy the variety. I feel like, especially if you're a newcomer to Wisconsin, listening to WPR is just a really good way to be introduced to the state.
Make your contribution today, because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click Donate.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Courtney Everett. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the news, makes the talk, makes the music you enjoy on WPR possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
We know you value your time, and we value your time too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio just takes a few minutes. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you like to pay.
That's right. It is quick. It is easy. And your gift right now, it really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station that you enjoy and count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Become a sustainer today, and your first year of contributions will be matched. This is so exciting.
That is.
So all new sustaining gifts will be doubled, up to $10,000, thanks to a group of current members. You can join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And just like WPR connects you with statewide news and conversations and entertainment, the state park system, it connects you with Wisconsin's natural beauty. And so this member drive, you can support the WPR programs you value, and you get access to more than 60 Wisconsin state parks and recreation areas with a 2024 admission sticker. So ask for yours when you give $25 a month now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
And we want to give a shout out to Marlene in Clam Lake, who says, I listen 24/7. I have too many favorites to list.
I love that.
I do too. Thank you, Marlene.
Marlene, thanks so much for your support. And join Marlene. Your gift is powerful. It truly makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We circle around to a discussion now from earlier this year, people who make false claims of Native American heritage and the effects on tribal sovereignty. This, as the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation investigates the claim to Indigenous ancestry by Buffy St. Marie, an Oscar-winning singer-songwriter. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234 to talk. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jean Taye is a Vancouver, Canada-based attorney, author of Métis Law in Canada, and past office holder for the Indigenous Bar Association of Canada. Jean, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Happy to be here, Kate.
So as we look more closely at the situation, Buffy St. Marie's music career, starting in the early 60s in the folk music scene, her contemporaries, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, one song on her first album in 1964, it's called Now That the Buffalo's Gone, and describing the mistreatment of Native Americans.
Can you remember the times you have held your head high, told all your friends of your Indian claim, proud good lady and proud good man, some great great grandfather from Indian blood sprang, and you feel in your heart for these ones.
So Jean, what evidence is raising questions about her claims to Indigenous ancestry?
Well, believe it or not, it all started with Canadian Public Radio that did a big show last year celebrating Buffy. And as a result of watching that show, one of her big fans in the United States, Jacqueline Keeler, who is heavily into investigating Indigenous claims to identity that she thinks are fraud, she watched the show. And to her great dismay, one of the people she's loved, musicians she's loved most of her life, she started listening to Buffy's story and thinking, this is crazy. This is just like all the other claims I'm listening to that are fake. And so she started digging afterwards, and it didn't take her very long to discover that a lot of the things that Buffy said weren't true. She tried to raise the issue with someone who had done a documentary in Canada, Drew Hayden Taylor, and he said he wasn't interested in pursuing it. So she took it to a reporter at the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, our public radio, and he took up the investigation. They investigated for months, and the story hit the news in October with a loud bang that was heard all through Canada for sure, and certainly through the United States, although perhaps not as much as people think it would, because I think there's been quite a, she's in her 80s now, so the younger generations are generally not as familiar with her as people who are from the 60s.
Jean, there's a tracking down of a birth certificate that indicates she was born in 1941 in Massachusetts to white parents. And Buffy St. Marie says she doesn't know whether her birth certificate is real. What is your reaction to that on the issue of the birth certificate?
Well, I think that, first of all, the evidence that the CBC uncovered was that it actually is a legitimate, authentic birth certificate. Now, the reason Buffy seems to have got away for a long time with questioning its authenticity is because of the people, a lot of Indigenous people who were adopted out. So even now, when you're adopted, it's very, very common to have your original birth certificate completely changed with the new parents' names and that information and the new name they give you. But this birth certificate is different. When you're adopted, in especially in states or provinces in Canada where adoption records are sealed or private, they don't want you to be able to track down the original parents. So it wouldn't have the parents' names on it. It wouldn't have the doctor's name on it. It wouldn't have the hospital's name on it. It would just have the new name and the new parent's name. So this original birth certificate in Massachusetts has all that information, which hospital, what time, her parent's name, her doctor's name, all of that kind of stuff. And you can understand why they wouldn't put that information in. So you can't track them down through that. So they're protecting the birth mother. Hmm. And so this birth certificate, if she had been adopted, also wouldn't be in the numeric order. So they're filed in Massachusetts records in the exact order of the births. So the birth, you know, just like an hour before is the mm-hmm. number, birth certificate before that, the birth an hour after is after that. So if Buffy was really adopted, that birth certificate would not exist, and another one would have been put in its place when she was adopted. And since she probably wasn't adopted on the actual day she was born, if she was adopted, that birth certificate would have been removed and a new one without the doctor's name, without the information.
Identifying information.
Exactly. Yeah. That would have been replaced, right? At the some other later time. So that's pretty conclusive evidence that that birth certificate is real. The other thing is that all of her family dispute this. Buffy is virtually the only one in her own family who says it's her brother disputes it. Her uncle went to the newspapers in the 60s thinking that this claim about her being Indigenous was all made up by her press company. Hmm. There's things from the 60s and 70s where people, even her own son is posting right now saying it's not true.
Jean Taye is with us, attorney, author of a report on Indigenous identity fraud for the University of Saskatchewan. You can join in questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Jean, stepping back for a moment, Buffy St. Marie claiming she has been accepted as a family member of the Paiapat First Nation in Saskatchewan, where she said she was born a Cree Indian. How is tribal affiliation different from tribal ancestry?
Well, that's a good question, Kate. And the fact is that most Indigenous peoples have some form of customary adoption into families. So there is a family on the Paiapat Reserve in Saskatchewan, Canada, that Buffy has been adopted into the family. Mm-hmm. And that is a very real thing. But this didn't happen, I think, until the 70s or 60s, 1970s. So when she's already like 30 or 40 years old. So this is a very serious family obligation. It's a wonderful ceremony. People are brought in as a member of the family. So it means like you're a sister or an auntie or a cousin, and these are your family obligations for the rest of your life. So very serious and lovely relationship, but it doesn't magically make her into an Indigenous woman or into a Cree woman. It makes her the same white woman she was, who now has this other family that she gets to, a chosen family that she gets to have a wonderful relationship with. But there's no, you know, fairy godmother who comes along with a wand and bing, changes your race or your ancestral facts of your life. So Buffy has tried to transmit that into saying that she's Indigenous, and it isn't. It's a lovely relationship and nothing more.
So Buffy St. Marie, credited as the first Indigenous artist to win an Academy Award, she's garnered numerous other awards. Should she be stripped of those awards?
Well, those are questions that I think that the award-giving
bodies,
groups have to seriously look at. You know, in Canada, she's got a Juno, but Junos are supposed to be given out to Canadians. And there's absolutely no evidence that Buffy's a Canadian. She even has an Order of Canada, which is one of the highest orders that awards that our Canadian government gives out. And that's supposed to be for Canadians, too. And I also think it's quite interesting that the two Indigenous people associated with the early Academy Awards, the woman who accepted the award for Marlon Brando and Buffy, both turn out to be fakes. So it's, you know, I think some of this is from the 1960s stuff about, you know, you can be whoever you want to be, and you, you know, everybody falling in love with Indigenous people, except, or at least the myth of Indigenous people, the parts of it that they want to believe in. And so Buffy found a way to make herself stand out from the other folk artists of her day by changing her identity from basically, I think it's Italian background to Indigenous.
In our last 30 seconds or so, when I heard the news from the CBC, I just wondered, why does this keep happening? Why is this going on? What is behind racial shifting now? And I just wonder, do you have any thoughts there?
It's been going on for hundreds of years. And since white people arrived in the United States and Canada, and they do it for one reason, personal gain. They get fame out of it. They get money. They get opportunities. And that's the only reason that they do it. It's fraud by every definition, which is intentional deception for personal gain. And that's what it's all about. And that's what Buffy did with it. And that's what they all do.
Jean, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Kate.
Jean Taye is a Vancouver, Canada-based attorney and past office holder for the Indigenous Bar Association of Canada. She's the author of a report on Indigenous identity fraud for the University of Saskatchewan. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Ahead this hour, we hear reaction from the Ice Age Trail Alliance on the Wisconsin footpath becoming a unit of the National Park Service. Now we turn to an update on the year-end member drive here at listener-supported WPR. I'm with Courtney Everett, and you can set WPR up for success in 2024 with your gift during this year-end member drive, and maybe you've already given this year, or you do make those ongoing monthly gifts. Well, today, make a special year-end gift for the service you rely on all year long. Takes just a few minutes at WPR.org. or call 888-202-2552.
And today, a generous group of current members will match all new sustaining contributions up to $10,000. This is amazing. And so that means when you become a WPR sustainer, your support will go twice as far.
An ongoing monthly gift is a truly powerful way of donating because it provides that reliable funding for the programs you count on. So join in now. Start your monthly donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, I just loved your conversation earlier. And, you know, it's conversations like that that really keep listeners coming back. And even as a producer, I always love learning about more topics. And it just, it's fun to keep people informed. And, you know, these are the kinds of conversations you can count on from Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right. WPR is listener supported. And it means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that we dig into every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And now that you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be looking for the best way to make your gift. The answer, become a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or credit card, and then you set it up to be ongoing.
100%. A sustaining gift is a powerful way of donating because it provides that reliable funding for the programs you love. So make an easy-to-pay monthly gift. Chunk it up, right? And those donations, they add up to have a huge impact for WPR. Choose an amount, say $10 or $20 a month. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is a treasured resource in Wisconsin. It's your source for in-depth news, community conversations, and smart entertainment. This member drive supports the essential public service you and your neighbors rely on and get access to another treasured Wisconsin resource, the State Park System. Ask for your 2024 admission sticker when you give $25 a month for the WPR programs you value. From the beaches of Lake Michigan to the hills of the Driftless area, you'll enjoy access to more than 60 parks, all while supporting your favorite public radio station. Give now and ask for your pass. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this year-end member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Courtney Everett. WPR's essential services available to you and your community thanks to your support. And your contribution of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you set it at, it makes a big difference for our entire community.
As we look ahead to 2024, we are so grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. It's one gift at a time. Listeners provide our largest source of funding. So if you haven't given yet this year, now's the time. And if you have given this year, we really appreciate your extra year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget the S word, sustainer. Become a sustainer now. Your first year of contributions will be matched. All new sustaining gifts will be doubled up to $10,000 thanks to a generous group of current members. Join in now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of WPR. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin's Ice Age Trail is now part of the National Park Service. We explore what that status change could entail. And now we get up to speed on the WPR year-end member drive. I'm here with Courtney Everett. And this year-end member drive, think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2023. Just take a moment to take stock of that. With 2024 around the corner, take action and give the public media service that you rely on a really strong start in the new year at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a special year-end goal this morning. So, or actually, I should say all day. So today, all new sustaining contributions will be matched up to $10,000 thanks to a generous group of current members.
I love it. It is their way of encouraging you to sustain Wisconsin Public Radio programs into the future. So build reliable funding for WPR now with your monthly gift. And this is such a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio connects you with experts. The morning show is a perfect example. And so how many times can you just pick up the phone, talk to the editor of a magazine, a politician, the author of a book? Well, support this opportunity to connect with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As the donor, you get to decide how much to give, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
Exactly. And that might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment, for example. The things you enjoy that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It is the year-end member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Courtney Everett, and it is listener support that is the biggest source of funding for everything here on WPR. And that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it has an important impact.
Yes, December is a great time of year to think about what's important to you. And because WPR is important to you, make a gift to support the station you count on. You will feel great when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And become a sustainer today, and your first year of contributions will be matched. So all new sustaining gifts will be doubled up to $10,000 today, thanks to a generous group of current members. So join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And just like WPR connects you with statewide news, conversations, entertainment, the state park system connects you with Wisconsin's natural beauty. This member drive, you can support the WPR programs you value and get access to more than 60 Wisconsin state parks and recreation areas with the 2024 admission sticker. Ask for yours when you give $25 a month now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one now. It is easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Alan in Madison says WPR has accurate and entertaining reporting. Well, thank you so much, Ellen and Madison. And you can join Ellen with your gift now. It is powerful and really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Ice Age National Scenic Trail is about a 1,200-mile footpath within Wisconsin, considered a destination for hikers from our state and beyond. And so as it becomes an official unit of the National Park Service, we look to its future. And you can join in with your questions, comments along the way. The number to talk is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Luke Kloberdans is Executive Director and CEO of the Ice Age Trail Alliance. Luke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, that's good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, let's break down what is the benefit of this designation through a unit of the National Park Service.
Well, that is the million-dollar question. This designation is something that we've been advocating for decades, really since we were created as a national scenic trail in 1980. And thanks to some incredible work by volunteers, thousands of volunteers, as well as elected officials over the years, we finally have been designated as a unit of the National Park Service. And you know, the benefits from this are some of those are known, some are yet to be determined or found out, I guess. But primarily, we will receive access to more resources now that we are a unit of the National Park Service. So it doesn't mean they're guaranteed, but we'll be able to throw our hat in a ring that we previously were unable to do so. So that is one of the benefits. But I think the other significant benefit here is the promotion and the recognition that comes with being a unit of the National Park Service. So we're honored for the designation and look forward to the many good things to come.
The National Park Service says the change will not result in any immediate changes to the size or structure of the trails. Perhaps what trail changes could happen further down the road?
Right. I think, you know, it's important to understand that our partners at the National Park Service office located in Dane County, they, you know, as a partnership project, we work very closely on all aspects of the trail along with the Wisconsin DNR. And those benefits that come from the office, of course, radiate to the National Park Service office, radiate among those partners. So we all look forward to increasing opportunities for resources that will help us build more trail in the future. So, you know, as an accredited land trust, we work every day to protect land and protect spaces where the trail can go in the future. So the resources that we would envision coming down the line would be those that would help us build that trail, and in addition to maybe protect some land in the future. But, you know, as while we work with willing sellers only, you know, it's really important that we try to close those gaps in the trail, and these resources will help us do that.
You mentioned how this designation is years in the making. I wonder why now? Why did it happen now?
That's a good question. So there were two paths that this could have happened. It could have happened legislatively. Mm-hmm. So our elected officials could have acted on this and directed the National Park Service to make us a unit. And so for decades, we were working with our elected officials to do that. Certainly, different officials over the years have dropped bills that were ultimately unsuccessful. But it also could have happened administratively. And that is through the National Park Service making this decision independent of Congress. And we want to thank Senator Baldwin, along with the other elected officials. But, you know, Senator Baldwin is certainly the driving force in encouraging the National Park Service to make this designation. And I want to thank Director Chuck Sams, National Park Service Director Chuck Sams, for hearing us, listening to elected officials as well as our volunteers throughout the years and making this decision administratively. So it, you know, much like the impacts of the glacier, sometimes it takes a lot of years and a lot of steady pressure to get things to happen. And we saw that happen.
You've been waiting recently. To say that, Luke, you've been waiting.
Oh, it's that one was, you know, pulled from the quiver from a while ago. Yes.
Well, let's take a call now. Jeff in Delafield. Jeff, hi.
Yes, good morning. I think my question was partially answered when I was online with the screener, but how will this impact the volunteers that work on the trail? My understanding was that they were already affiliated with the National Park Service, and I just wanted to add that the opportunity for volunteers is such a tremendous opportunity with recent retirees, a little bit younger, that it just gives them a tremendous opportunity to get involved in their community. And being a member of an Ice Age Trail community, I see firsthand what it does for our local community. The volunteer efforts, the people hiking through our downtown, patronizing our local businesses, and it's really special to us. Mm. And I know I've had numerous occasions where I spot hikers and I like to point out local businesses, promote the community, and they're appreciative of that. So it's just such a win-win-win. And I hope that the opportunities stay there for the, I'll call it, recent retirees. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you for opening up that piece of the conversation. Luke, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Jeff, thank you, first of all, and love visiting Delafield and all of our trail communities around the state. But, you know, we will need volunteers more than ever. Now, you know, our numbers continue to rebound from the pandemic. And last year, we had over 100,000 volunteer hours as an organization dedicated to this project. And I can assure you, Jeff, that there will be a job for everyone, as we always say, for years to come. You know, these additional resources that we're expecting and the promotion will mean more foot traffic. It will mean more opportunities for building new trails. So we will need people like you to come out and join us. And yes, the recent retirees are a very strong group of volunteers we have, but we have multi-generational volunteers as well. And that's something that we really, really enjoy working on, is creating those opportunities for everyone to join us on this project as a volunteer. So there'll be plenty of opportunity ahead, Jeff.
We're talking about the Ice Age Trail joining the National Park Service with Luke Kloberdans, Trail Alliance CEO and Executive Director. You can join in questions and comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Luke, the Ice Age Trail continues expanding. Some portions lack marked connections. So where are your priorities for new trail sections?
Well, that is, I would say our priority is anywhere where there is a gap. Mm-hmm. You know, when we work with willing sellers, you know, we really rely on those people that hold those properties to have the willingness to put their land in conservation into perpetuity so the trail is protected forever. And you know, certainly we have gaps, we have strategies and places where we look, but we are also opportunistic. And we will, when people approach us, you know, our senior director of land conservation, Kevin Thusius, will start working with them and having conversations. And you know, we recently closed on a property in Marquette County that is really spectacular. And that was a result of those property owners reaching out to us and saying, you know, hey, we really like what you do and the way that you care for the land. And we want to help protect what we've worked so hard to maintain over these years. And you know, that's a multi-year process, but when we get there, it's pretty exciting to be able to close those gaps by one property at a time.
I wonder, will there be new signage indicating the trail is part of the National Park Service?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the Ice Age National Scenic Trail has always been part of the National Park Service. Mm-hmm. This designation puts us in a different category within the National Park Service. So our sign, we don't expect our signage to change. You know, the rounded triangle with the mammoth on the front that so many people see, you know, that is our mark given to us by the National Park Service. So there will be other opportunities to enhance signage. So one of the benefits of unit status, for example, is that our National Park Service office previously had to pay for all the printing and brochures that you might have seen out of their budget. Now that will go through a different budget in Harpers Ferry, which will open up additional funds for our office. But you know, with that designation, new opportunities for signage, promotional materials will be available. So yes and no, the mark will stay, but we look forward to creating some new and imaginative signage.
So the news came in concert with the National Park Service also giving unit status to the North Country Trail and New England Scenic Trail. I'm wondering, do you see any synergy, or will that allow you to become closer with the North Country Trail, which is up there in northern Wisconsin, clips the northwest corner?
Yes. Well, we work closely with all of the national scenic trails, but certainly, you know, our partners at the North Country Trail Association, Andrea Ketchmark and her team have been, you know, we're in lockstep with them on this whole process of trying to get unit status, along with our partners at the New England Trail. And, you know, we're part of something called the Partnership for the National Trail System, which helps all the national scenic and historic trails meet their missions. So yes, we are already close, but certainly we will be continue to work closely together, and their volunteers and their support also help push this unit status into being a reality.
And then, you know, by joining as a unit status, are Wisconsin authorities or organizations or volunteers losing any type of local control or local influence over the trail's future?
Yeah, great question. No, right now, very little will change for the average hiker outside of hopefully having more trail to hike in the future. You know, there won't be any permits required. There will not be, you won't have to make reservations. You know, we're very different than what we call square parks like Yellowstone, you know, which has one point of entry, I guess, fewer points of entry, mm-hmm. you know, but we have multiple points of entry across 1,200 miles. So we are unique in that way, that we're basically a long, skinny national park now, and that's super exciting. But I think the local control will remain, and ultimately the people that hold the land that the trail crosses still have that decision-making authority.
Luke, thank you so much for joining us. All the best to you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Kate, and I hope to see you on the trail soon.
All right. Luke Kloberdans, Executive Director and CEO of the Ice Age Trail Alliance. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show, and it is the year-end membership drive here at listener-supported WPR. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Courtney Everett, and we're here to say that your support is vital, vital to all the news and the talk and the entertainment on WPR, and it's the largest source of funding. So take a few minutes now on a Thursday to support this essential service you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today, a generous group of current members will match all new sustaining contributions up to $10,000. That means when you become a WPR sustainer, your support will go twice as far.
And an ongoing monthly gift, it is truly a powerful way of donating because it provides that reliable, sustainable funding for the programs you count on. So join in now. Start your monthly donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I just love the morning show. I'm so excited about the Ice Age Trail and, you know, hearing everything. There's just so many great topics and coming up in the next hour, we have even more informative topics. But these are the kinds of conversations that you really can count on from Wisconsin Public Radio.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the wide variety of topics that we dig into every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And this member drive, you can support the essential news and entertainment you value and receive access to Wisconsin State Parks. So ask for your 2024 admission sticker when you get $25 a month or more, and then you'll enjoy access to more than 60 parks and recreational areas, all while supporting the public media service you and your neighbors rely on. Ask for yours now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Courtney Everett. Your support during this year-end member drive, it makes the news and the talk conversations and all the music you enjoy on WPR possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Help keep WPR strong as we enter 2024. Become a first-time donor or make an extra year-end gift to support the news, talk, and music you value. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And there's a distinction, right? Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors for various reasons. Giving to WPR is one way to make a difference and help your local community.
Your contribution today not only pays for the programs you listen to, it also gives others the chance to discover Wisconsin Public Radio. You can make that difference with a gift of $100 or even $10 a month, whatever amount is right for you. Just go to WPR.org or call 888 202-2552.
And become a sustainer today, and your first year of contributions will be matched. So definitely that is great, because all new sustaining gifts will be doubled today, up to $10,000. That is thanks to a generous group of current members. Join in now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Such a great opportunity. So thank you so much for supporting your public radio station. Become a sustainer now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.